The recent occupation of some unevangelized areas is a great cause for joy. Yes, there is great cause for rejoicing in the victories in the past for our Lord, but with this joy comes a heavy burden, the burden of the great unmet need. In no case have we really possessed that land. There continues to be a great need for medical care. In Nigeria, there are only 2 doctors for every 100,000 people. The shortage of nurses, as around the world, is shockingly acute. There is only 1 dentist for every 2 million people. Here in this country, our life expectancy has been extended to about 70 years now, but in Africa, it is 35 years. Here in this country, 1 child out of 25 dies before its first birthday, but in Africa, 1 out of every 2 dies before its first birthday, a 50% infant mortality rate. As we medical missionaries attempt to meet some of these physical needs in the name of Christ, we have found that our professions provide a wonderful entree into the hearts of the people and that we have unlimited opportunities for Christian witness. Thank God for the people who have found Christ as Savior in our mission hospitals. But in addition to the need for medical care, there is an intense hunger for education. As Africa is awakening, Muslims, pagans, and Christians all are seeking training as never before, and they will get some type of education if at all possible. Here is our great opportunity to give them Christian education. As we've projected a very needed educational program, we've not only been able to prepare our national students for a more well-rounded, abundant life of the future, we've not only been able to train them for further service to their own people, but also we have seen that over half of the converts coming into our churches are products of our Baptist schools. And our 1,000 churches and preaching stations, our Sunday schools, training unions, and missionary organizations continue to win and train Africans from 300 or 400 tribes. In a country where there are millions of illiterates, the literacy program, as promoted by Women's Missionary Union, is accomplishing a memorable piece of work. And so, through many methods of evangelistic endeavor, scores of Nigerians are accepting Christ as Savior. But the lives of countless others are blighted by witchcraft and fear and superstition and belief in juju. What a great spiritual dearth. Amongst the 36 million of Nigeria's population, over half claim Islam as their religion. Almost half of the remainder are worshipers of spirits, and the balance are followers of Christ. Who is going to capture that continent? Who is going to capture that land of Nigeria? Someone is going to have it. There is evidence on every hand of an extensive Catholic campaign. Moreover, we have been told only in recent months that twice the number of Nigerian students are attending Russian colleges and universities as are attending American colleges and universities, and these college-trained young people will be the leaders of the new Nigeria. But in addition to the efforts of communism and Catholicism, Islam is still making a very strong appeal for the hearts of our people. And converts are being won all the time to that religion. And so we come back to the question, who is going to capture that land? Southern Baptist, I would say to you this morning with all the sincerity of my soul, this is our day. Now is our opportunity. Living under the impact of so many new influences of the new modern world round about them, many Africans are seeking for something new and something better. And scores will make a change of religion in this generation, and the doors to that country at this present time are wide open to us. Will we rise to this challenge? Will we measure up to our responsibility? Will we take advantage of this opportunity? Rarely in the world's history has there been such a ripe field for Christian witness. Men and women all over Nigeria, created in the image of God, priceless personalities for whom Christ died, are waiting for us to come and tell them of the Savior. Will we go too late? Surely God does not mean for men to die in sin and poverty and disease and ignorance without a Savior. The heart hunger of Africa's millions can be satisfied only by a saving knowledge of the living Christ, the Christ that has made the difference in your life and in mine. The many unreached areas of Nigeria call for the personnel, the money, and the message that Southern Baptist can give. These continuing and compelling opportunities demand and deserve our very best. There is an inscription on a tombstone in Abeokuta, Nigeria. at the head of the grave of one of our pioneer missionaries, Mr. J.S. Dennard. It bespeaks of the deep dedication to a tremendous task, and it reads, "Till all the tribes of Africa shall be brought to the feet of Christ the Savior. This is our task, and it can only be accomplished by the combined and unceasing efforts of our faithful national Christians, of you people here in the homeland, and of your missionaries on the field. May God help us to be found faithful to this tremendous task which lies before us."
Many, many times on the World Day of Prayer, you have knelt to pray. You've knelt as churches. You've knelt in your societies. You've knelt as individuals. You've prayed for my Chinese people. You've prayed for the people of pagan lands around the world. Yes, you've prayed that some way the light of the gospel might come to them. On that same day, they too are praying, Christian people are, in all of the pagan lands. The Christians come together to observe that day of prayer. They pray too. They pray, "God bless the women of America. God bless the women of the Southland who are praying for us today. God bless the women who have done and are doing so much for us." And you have done much for them. Not only do the Chinese pray, but the people of all of the South Pacific new mission fields pray. The Malayan women, the Filipino women, the Korean women, the people in Thailand and Pakistan, Formosa, Hong Kong, Macau, and on around the world. Yes, many millions would rise up to call you blessed because of what you have done, because you care, because you loved, because you have given. These women have come to know our Lord and to rejoice in the personal Savior's love. You've sent missionaries to them. You've built church buildings and chapels. You've built hospitals. You've opened schools. You opened the first schools for girls in China. You've helped to educate their youth. You've helped to bring health to them. Yes, you've done so much. And how they would love this privilege that is mine this morning of standing up to thank you for what you have done and are doing for them. And then many times I have heard and I've met with groups of missionaries who also have prayed, "God bless the WMU of the Southland for what you have done and are doing for the cause that we too are giving our lives to." And then individual missionaries thank you. Oh, so many times we do thank God for you. We're so grateful for what you have done. We're so grateful for your prayer calendar. It gives us the assurance that on one day you're going to especially be praying for us. And that's a reminder that on many days you also pray. Because you've prayed, many missionaries' lives have been spared. Because you've prayed, health has been restored. Right decisions have been made. Crises have been met. Dangers have been faced. Victories have been won. And it is a precious privilege this morning to stand here and to say thank you for what your prayers have meant, not only to my life as an individual, not only to the missionaries, but to the people with whom we work. I'm thinking of a dark, cold night. More than 20 years ago it was. I was out on the veranda of the Matilde Hospital in Hong Kong, up on the peak. That was at the time I was serving on the mainland of China. I had gone down there for rest, for medical checkup. I remember one night, after everybody in my ward was asleep, I slipped out of my bed. I went out on the veranda overlooking the bay, and there I knelt, because that day the doctor had told me that he would have to recommend to the Foreign Mission Board to get me out of the tropics, a health condition he felt would prove fatal if I remained in a tropical climate. I was concerned. I wondered just what he would say. I wondered what the board would do. But I was more concerned to know what God thought and what God would have me to do. And that's why I was out there praying. I prayed through. God was so close to me. God spoke so clearly. And I said, yes, I'll stay on. And what a peace. All concern left me at that moment. I knew that I had found God's will. The next morning, I picked up my royal service or my devotional book, and I saw I was on the prayer list that day. I believe firmly that I made the right decision, the decision that God wanted me to make, because you were praying. At that very hour, many of you were praying, and God heard your prayer, and God answered your prayer. And for the 20 years that I have labored in China, for every soul that I have won, for every victory that I have won through the Lord, for everything I have accomplished in His strength and in His power and in His name, I feel that I owe it to the women of the Southland. Yes, when we get over to the Glory Land, I want to bring these souls and lay them at your feet and say, they're yours. You've won them. They're your laurels. Had you failed to pray, maybe I would not have even stayed on in China. We do need your prayers. Hundreds of missionaries could stand here and tell you of definite answers to your prayers on that very day when you were praying. I would urge you never to discontinue your calendar of prayer. As individuals, observe it early in the morning, because in the Orient, you know we are a day ahead. Pray for us early in the morning. And then you're praying before our day has come to an end over there. We have on the prayer calendar today the names of two of my fellow missionaries, Mr. R.Z. Shamley Jr. of Peru. He is now on furlough. He is at this time in the city of Miami. Peter Miller, working among the San Blas Indians in Panama. Shall we unite our hearts and pray especially for these two? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we join our hearts and our prayers this morning with this great host of Southern Baptist women, with many other women who are not even here today, but who are joining us in prayer, reaching Thy throne of grace, praying especially for these two, our Father, whose names have been called. We pray especially for Mr. Shamley this day. Lord, wouldst Thou use him in a mighty way during this furlough year, that he might help to call out the call, that he might rekindle anew missionary fires and flames in the hearts of the people whom he contacts. Our Father, we pray especially for his co-laborers this day and for the work to which he is giving his life in Peru. Be very gracious to them. Give special strength and courage, our Father, to those upon whom the responsibility of his task has fallen during this furlough year. And then, our Father, wouldst Thou call others to join Mr. Chamley and his fellow workers in Peru, that all of Peru might have the opportunity of hearing the gospel. And then, our Father, for Mr. Peter Miller, we pray. We know that great mission field, our Father of Panama, how they do need him, how they need other missionaries to tell them about the Lord. And then, our Father, our prayer for these two is our prayer for missionaries around the world today who are giving the light of the gospel to the millions, who are reaching out their hands to to the millions who have been waiting through all of these hundreds of years for someone to tell them about the gospel. We do thank Thee, our Father, for the ones that we have been permitted to win to Thee. We pray for our Christians in all of the pagan lands today. Strengthen their hands, strengthen their hearts, deepen their passion for the lost of their own people, and give them great power, our Father, as they go out to win their people. And let Thy blessings and benedictions rest upon the women of the Southland, our Father, who have meant so much and who do mean so much to the cause of missions around the world. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for Jesus' precious sake. Amen. We'll ask our recording secretary, Mrs. Robert Fling, to come and read the minutes.
Madam President, the annual meeting of Women's Missionary Union, auxiliary to the Southern Baptist Convention, was called to order in its 72nd year by the President, Mrs. R.L. Mathis, at 9:30 a.m., May the 16th, 1960, Miami Beach Auditorium, Miami, Florida. A prelude of organ music was played by Mrs. J. Perry Carter. Following the opening prayer led by the President, the following musicians were introduced: Dr. Claude B. Ray, New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, New Orleans, Louisiana, Music Director; Mrs. J. Perry Carter, Miami, Florida; and Mrs. Charles Walker, Tallahassee, Florida, organist; Mrs. William Summerlin, Miami, pianist. Dr. Ray led the audience in singing hymns of praise. As a solo, Dr. Ray sang, "Thy Word is Like a Garden, Lord," by Gill. In keeping with the 1959-60 Jubilee emphasis on Bible teaching and training, the program theme was Holding Forth the Word of Life, selected from the second chapter of Ephesians. As auditorium lights dimmed, illuminated words of the chosen theme appeared across the pages of a gigantic background Bible on the platform. The theme of the worship periods, Letter Home, was suggested by the title of a recent book written by missionary nurse Antonina Canzaneri of Nigeria. Mrs. W.B. Hicks of the Philippines conducted the first of the series on Letters Home from Missionaries, following which Miss Delilah Jones, appointee to Nigeria, told of her mission call and offered prayer for missionaries on the prayer calendar. The audience joined in singing O Zion Haste. The recording secretary moved that those registered with the secretary be recognized as constituting the organization, and that those who shall register be added to the list. Motion carried. It was moved by the executive secretary that the printed program in the hands of the delegates with any necessary changes be the order of business. Motion carried. The president appointed the following committees: Appreciation Committee, Ms. Carrie Vaughn, Virginia Chairman; Mrs. Earl Stark, Oklahoma. Mrs. J.I. Freeman, Alabama. Ms. Clara Lane, California. Ms. Sarah Stevens, Georgia. Resolutions Committee, Mrs. Wilfred C. Tyler, Mississippi, Chairman. Mrs. Willis Hall, Maryland. Ms. Josephine Jones, Florida. Ms. Catherine Carpenter, Louisiana. Ms. Albert J. Smith, Alabama. The Secretary was requested to send messages to Mrs. W.C. James and Ms. W.J. Cox, honorary members of the Executive Board, and to reply to any messages received. Following the reading of Article 6, Sections 1 and 2 of the WMU Bylaws by the President, the Recording Secretary read the names of the 1960 Nominating Committee members and alternates and called a meeting for organization upon adjournment of the afternoon session. I might say that this committee met and organized as follows: Ms. L.S. Casaza, District of Columbia Chairman; Ms. Insel Dean, Kentucky Co-Chairman; Ms. Cecil M. Stewart, Arizona Secretary. Ms. Hunt moved that a memorial list to be entered on a special in memoriam page in the minutes. Motion carried. The President expressed appreciation to the hostess committees for the splendid preparations and many evidences of hospitality. She presented the general co-chairman, Mrs. W.J. Troop and Ms. Lloyd Reese, who spoke words of welcome and introduced chairman of hostess committees. The body stood in appreciation of their untiring efforts. The following assistants in programming were recognized: Mrs. Ned King and Mr. Jack Bird, Dallas, Texas; Ms. Rachel Coven and Mr. Joe Garcia, Birmingham, Alabama. Mrs. Mathis presented the Executive Secretary, Ms. Alma Hunt, as author of the new book, Woman's Missionary Union, and the Promotion Division Director, Mrs. William McMurray, as author of the recently released book, Educating Youth in Missions. Mrs. Genus Crenshaw, home missionary, spoke on the Seminoles of Florida. She introduced Ms. Cody Miko, a Seminole woman from the Brighton Reservation, who gave her Christian testimony and quoted John 3:16 in her own dialect. Come thou fount of every blessing was sung. Mrs. Max P. Ward of Alexandria, Louisiana, guest soloist, was presented. Mrs. Ward sang Omnipotence by Schubert. World Communism, Its Future Outlook was the address given by Dr. Carlos Leismeyer, noted European author and educator who came to America 11 years ago. Dr. Leismeyer discussed the fourfold communist program and called for a fourfold Christian commitment: total acceptance of Christ, total dedication, total discipline, and total action. The closing scripture meditation from Philippians was given by a verse choir composed of North Carolina WMU office personnel: Ms. Sarah Ann Hobbs, Ms. Catherine Bullard, Mrs. Eugene Jones, Ms. Peggy Mars, Ms. Miriam Robinson, director. With Mr. K.D. Cochran conducting, the Carolinaires Bell Choir of Augusta, Georgia played How Firm a Foundation. Adjournment. Monday afternoon, an organ prelude was played by Mrs. Carter. Under the direction of Dr. Ray, hymns of praise and prayer were sung. Special music, Look Unto Me by Nathan, based on the familiar text from Isaiah, was sung by Dr. Ray. Mrs. Jack Walker, missionary to Tanganyika, conducted the call to worship as an enlarged replica of a letter home was projected on one side of the open Bible and a silhouette map of Tanganyika appeared on the opposite side. Mrs. Walker also led the prayer period, Day by Day for the World We Pray. I Love to Tell the Story was conducted by Dr. Ray. As flags of Alaska and Hawaii were spotlighted behind the scrim background, the world came nearer, and the President extended an official welcome to Alaska and Hawaii as cooperating state unions. Mr. and Mrs. Willie Johnson, home missionaries, were recognized as the first Eskimos to attend meetings of the Southern Baptist Convention. Representing the 49th state, Mrs. Johnson related her experience of salvation and told of Baptist work in Alaska. Representing the 50th state, Ms. Itsuko Saito, Executive Secretary, presented orchid-lays to officers and program personnel on behalf of Women's Missionary Union of Hawaii. Ms. Saito discussed statehood and the development of the Hawaiian Baptist Convention. The hymn, Rescue the Perishing, was sung. Special music, The 90 and 9, by Campion, was sung by Mrs. Ward. Mrs. Don Kim, home missionary working among international students in California, spoke on the subject, From Communism to Freedom, telling of God's sustaining power during imprisonment in her native Korea. Philippians 2, 1 through 16 was the scripture passage read by the verse choir as the closing meditation. The handbell choir played Tell Me the Old, Old Story. Adjournment. Monday night, following the organ prelude by Mrs. Carter, the Monday evening session was called to order at 7:30, the President in the chair. Dr. Ray conducted the song service. Eternal Life by Dungan was the special number sung by Dr. Ray. The verse choir, spotlighted through a scrim curtain, quoted selected portions from Philip's translation of Ephesians 2, reiterating the words, "For you hold in your hand the very words of life." From the opposite side of the platform, the handbell choir rang out the melody of "Wonderful Words of Life" and "Joy to the World." With a map of her adopted land, Venezuela, projected on one side of the open Bible and a page from a letter pictured on the other, Mrs. Charles Clark conducted the call to worship on the chosen theme, "Let Her Home." Dr. Robert Lindsay brought greetings from Israel and led the prayer period. The music director led the congregation in singing "Jesus Shall Reign." "O Divine Redeemer" by Guno was sung by Mrs. Ward. A Southern Baptist roll call of the nations presented in dramatic episode was led by Dr. Baker James Cawthon, Executive Secretary of the Foreign Mission Board. Dr. Cawthon announced the largest Lottie Moon Christmas offering gift ever received, $7,706,847.29. Dr. Cawthon asked that the state presidents and executive secretaries stand with Mrs. Mathis and Ms. Hunt as he paid tribute to the leadership of Women's Missionary Union and spoke of the unselfish service and auxiliary status of the organization. The three mission areas were discussed as follows by representatives of the Foreign Mission Board. Latin America by Dr. Roger Smith, Associate Secretary, Division of Promotion. Africa, Europe, and the Near East by the Secretary, Dr. H. Cornell Garner. The Orient by the Secretary, Dr. Winston Crawley. Glittered continents of the world cast dark shadows against a blue hemispheric background on the platform. As the three areas were presented, costume figures entered and stood beneath the continents. Each time Mrs. Mathis recognized the missionaries present from the various areas, the audience stood in appreciation. As the open Bible came into view behind the map of the world, the Stetson University Choir of Florida, directed by Dr. Harold M. Griffin, sang "Almighty God." Adjournment. Are there any corrections to the minutes? If not, they'll stand approved as read. Thank you, Ms. Bing. May I remind you that this morning's session will close again with a scripture meditation. The house lights will be dimmed, and we will ask you to remain seated until the handbell choir has played our final number. I want to remind you also that this afternoon we are to have the premiere showing of the Lottie Moon story. We want you to be here to see this wonderful production of the life of Miss Lottie Moon. You have noticed from your program that we are to present this morning Woman's Missionary Union training. Training through Woman's Missionary Society, through Young Woman's Auxiliary, through Girls' Auxiliary, through Sunbeam Band. The emphases for this year we have carried out here in this program since its beginning. Bible teaching before you have seen this large Bible. We know that the members of Women's Missionary Union, through Sunday School, Training Union, and through their churches, have carried out this emphasis for the year, emphasizing the teaching of God's Holy Word. Women's Missionary Union has given emphasis to leadership training. Never have so many leaders taken part in this great leadership training program, particularly is that true of the WMS members, for the first time, they have had a leadership course. And by the tons, the materials have gone from Birmingham to the states and from the states to the local societies. We shall call for the members of our promotion division to come forward who will participate in presenting this part of our program, Woman's Missionary Union, in training through the aims for advancement, which you see here on either side. We call first for the director of the promotion division. And this is Mrs. William McMurray, our director. This is Miss Betty Brewer, director of Girls Auxiliary. This is Miss Lorella Owens, editor of The Window. This is Miss Dorothy Weeks, editor of TEL. This is Miss Elaine Dixon, promotion associate in the WMS department. This is Miss Ethel Lee Hamrick, editor of Loyal Service. This is Miss Doris Duvall, director of Young Woman's Auxiliary. This is Miss Billy Pate, promotion associate in the YWA department. This is Miss Margaret Bruce, director of the WMS department. And this is Miss Abby Louise Green, director of the Sunbeam Band department.